I've been threatened by the cameramen to stay in one place, and I think they meant business. But we'll see how that works out for them. I want to thank Pastor and elders for the honor and the privilege to share the Word of God with you tonight. And it's been an interesting week, searching and seeking the Lord and what He would have for you. And as we were standing out here in praise and worship this evening, and in the song it says, "Here we are standing on the edge of something new," the Holy Spirit said to me, this verse started running through my head, and I'm looking at Tina, and I said, "I don't know exactly where this is at," but I said, "It's the glory of the former." Let me read it to you. I got it right here. But anyway, it's from Haggai chapter 2, and I don't really understand all of it, but I believe this is a word from the Lord. It's in the Word, so I'm just going to read the Word, and you all go through it. It says, "The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory." And Lord, I don't know what that means. And Lord, it's your word. And so, Father, I just pray that you will give Pastor and the elders the discernment and revelation from your Holy Spirit as to what this means to us as a body corporately and as to us individually. Thank you, Lord. Here we are standing on the edge of something new. Truly, this is a new day and a new time in which we are in. And as I was searching and seeking the Lord, He spoke to me about stepping out into the unknown. And it's, if we're standing on the edge of something new, evidently we've never been there before, correct? I mean, am I understanding that correctly? If it's something new, it's somewhere uncharted, somewhere where we've never been, and we really don't know where we're going, but we know who is leading us, amen? We know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and where He leads, we should say, "I will follow." And so tonight I want to speak to you about stepping out into the unknown. And I have to apologize. I gave my scripture verses to the men in the back, and all my scripture verses tonight were from the New Living Translation Bible. And they don't have that on their computer. And so my verse is going to read different than yours. They're going to put the NIV up there, so just bear with me. But I want to read for you out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And this is from the message. It's not a translation. What is it, Mom? It's a translation.
It is a translation.
Okay. It says, "Your life is a journey, and you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. God always knew what He was going to do for you. Your life is a journey." Folks, we're in a journey. Truly, we're in a journey. And here we are, standing on the edge of something new, getting ready to walk out into the great unknown. And it prompted me to go back to Peter. And I like Peter because Peter and I have some of the same qualities. Carrie, I know you will probably agree with me. I'm bullheaded. Yeah, you too. I didn't know that about you, Carrie. Kind of, never mind. But you know what? I like Peter because Peter was kind of like, impulsive, And I think that, most of us are kind of that way, whether we like to admit it or not. But I like Peter, He wasn't really the brightest crayon in God's box. You know what I mean? I mean, of all the people that were in his inner circle, Peter wasn't the one who really picked up very easily on the deep mysteries of what Jesus was revealing. But Peter made a comment, said, "You are the Christ." That's pretty deep. You know, and if I don't get any further than that, that's far enough for me. I told Tina, I said, I'm not very good at Greek and Hebrew. I failed them both miserably in school. So, you know, it's not a priority for me. But, you know, one thing I do know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I don't need to know anything else other than that right now. Because that'll get me everywhere where I need to be and where I need to go. But we're on the edge of something new here, and I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 gives us an account. It says, now, just to lay a little foundation for you here, Jesus had already fed about 5,000 men with some 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from a little boy. That doesn't count the women and children who were among them. And so it says, immediately after feeding this multitude, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear. They cried out, "It is a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." And then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw a strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. "You are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Now, if that's not stepping out into the great unknown, I don't know what is. I've walked on water myself, but it's been at 40 below when it was about 4 foot thick. You know, with body mass like mine, you need that kind of substance underneath you, you know. But Peter jumped off the side of the boat and he began to walk on water. And I thought, you know, that's really an act of faith when you're going somewhere you've never been before, you know? If you've never walked on water, which I've never really walked on water, I've walked on ice. Think about that. What an act of faith. Life is a journey. For Peter, this journey began when he left the safety and security of the boat and ventured out in faith into the great unknown. All of our journeys begin with one single step of faith, one step at a time. You'll never walk on water while you maintain your safety and security in the boat. Tonight, I want to hopefully challenge you and encourage you to step out of our comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand for us. That's a lyric from the Voice of Truth from Casting Crowns. I think that's so beautiful. To step out of our comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. Gentlemen, if you'll play this little piece I have for you. I want you to listen to the words of this song that they're going to play here.
And I recall upon your name. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are
How many of you would say with an upraised hand, hey, I'm ready to journey out into the great unknown. I'm ready to go in deeper. I want to go deeper than I've been before. I want to step out into something new, Lord. I don't know what you're going to do, but I want to be a part of it.
Amen?
Amen? You know, every morning that we get up, we have a little ritual that Tina and I do. We go outside and sit on the patio. And we'll have a hot tea or a cup of coffee, and we'll listen to the birds and watch the sun come up, and we'll sit there and take in the beauty of the morning, and we'll take our devotional, and we'll sit out there. And how many of you know that as you begin a journey into an unknown area, an unknown region, whatever, you're going to encounter difficulties? It's a fact. We're going to encounter many circumstances and situations that are out of our control. You ever realize that? It's like Pastor said Sunday, you know, there's things that are out of our control, and why let it control us, you know, when we have no control over it? Why let it eat your lunch? You know, why get upset about it? But you know, I like how the Holy Spirit prepares you for the unknown. That morning, we grabbed our devotional, and we were reading through the Jesus Calling devotional. And that morning it says, when things don't go as you would like, accept the situation immediately. If you indulge in feelings of regret, they can easily spill over the line into resentment. Remember that I am sovereign over your circumstances, and humble yourself under my mighty hand. Rejoice in what I am doing in your life, even though it is beyond your understanding. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In me you have everything you need, both for this life and for the life yet to come. Don't let the impact of the world shatter you. Your thinking or draw you away from focusing on me. The ultimate challenge is to keep fixing your eyes on me, no matter what is going on around you. When I am central in your thinking, you are able to view circumstances from my perspective. And the verse was 1 Peter 5:6. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Accept the situation immediately, and no matter what is going on around you, rejoice in what God is doing in our life. You know, that's sometimes easier said than done. But you know what? We need to get to that point where we do that. I found an interesting passage in Proverbs 16:9. And it says this. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Every journey begins with a step. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. That tells me that he's intimate in everything that I do. If I will but yield myself to him, you know, and try to stay out of his way, he'll lead me, he'll guide me, he'll direct me. He has plans for me, and he has plans for you. Psalms 37:23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. In every detail of their lives. We had a little situation this week, and it's funny because that was the morning that we were reading that little devotional, and our morning went from, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, yeah, yeah, yeah. And by afternoon, it was in the toilet of life, swirling out of control. And we just said, okay, whatever. Because you know what? There was nothing we could do about it. But you know, there's a reality to all that, is that Jesus not only determines our steps, but he also delights in every detail of our lives. And he knew already what was going on before we ever got out of bed that morning. He was, you know, it's how we respond to those circumstances, and it's how we respond to those negative things that come along in our life. And, you know, 25 years ago, I would have been really hardwired on somebody, you know. But that didn't happen, you know, and it wasn't because I'm a great guy, but it's because God is great in me when I'm not in the way, you know, and not trying to seek my own way. It says, righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. Our righteousness is in Christ. It's not in anything that we do. It says God, in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Wow. You know, that's a master plan. Every journey needs a master plan. Our master plan is this. You need to write this down. The Lord determines your steps. Proverbs 16:9. Psalm 37:23. The Lord delights in every detail of your lives. Psalm 85:13. He is preparing the way for your steps. 1 Peter 2:21. We must follow in his steps. As you walk into the great unknown, there's some ways. You know, there was an old song that says, walk this way. You're telling on yourself. Walk this way. Yeah. You know, there's only one way to walk, and that's walking in faith steps. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to this. Hebrews 11:1-16. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people of old days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his entire family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised to him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, she believed. And God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one old man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Nothing happens unless you believe and exercise faith. When God calls you, he expects us to respond in faith. He expects us to believe him at his word. And I am so guilty at times of trying to intellectualize God and say, God, you know, how are you going to do this? God, you said this. I'll tell you, God spoke something to me one day at work, and he said, you know, I didn't ask you to buy this. I asked you to believe for it. And I was like, that's so silly. What do you mean you didn't ask me to pay for it? You just asked me to believe for it. He said, you think that's funny? I'm like, no, sir. No, sir, it's not funny at all. Did you really mean that? Well, of course he really meant it. Have I seen the fruition of it? Have I seen it come to pass yet? No, but will it come to pass? I believe God is not a liar. Will it come to pass? If it's God's will, it will. When God says something, he means it. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And if God says it, he'll do it. But you have to believe. So if God calls you to step out into the realm of the unknown, standing on the edge of something new, you're going to have to rely on his word. You're going to have to believe by faith and not by intellect that what God is doing, he has a plan and a purpose for you to step out into it. I believe God is calling all of us into something great, something new, something that we have no idea what in the world's even going to happen. Do I know have even an inkling of what he's got planned? I have none. I'm like oblivious. All I know is I want to be a part of it. I want to be on the basement level when we go in on this thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can remember back when God told me, you know, I'm gonna call you, and I'm gonna send you to the prison, and you're gonna be a chaplain in the prison. I had so many people tell me, man, it'll never happen. I said, but God told me. You miss God. But God told me. 96 months, man, I put in my application every month, and you know what? I couldn't even get an interview. But you know what? It's crazy how God works, isn't it? When God says it, you know what? He doesn't put a time frame on it and tell you, you know what? I'm going to do this for you in 30 days, brother. No, he don't do that. God says, you know what? I called you to do something, and if I called you, I'll equip you. I don't need anything but your willingness to do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, and how I tell you to do it. For my honor and my glory, I'm not asking you to do anything other than what I'm asking you to do. Step out in faith and walk this way. So what did I do every month? People said I was nuts. Now I begin to think I was a little nuts. But you know what? Nothing happens unless you believe and walk in faith. The second type of walk that we have to have is a walk of compassion. A walk of compassion. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the walls of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I would not have to destroy the land, but I found no one. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not real sure I understand what you're saying here. But he said, you know what? I've already spoken to some people about some things that I want to do. And he said, they've already been called, and I'm calling others. And he said, I'm needing people to stand in the gap for others. I'm needing people who can love, and I'm needing people who will embrace the ugly and the good and the bad and all that other stuff that comes with it. And just love people. I'm just looking for somebody to stand in the gap. But you know what he says here in the Word? He said, I was looking for somebody to stand in the gap and I couldn't find anyone. Thank God for some that are attentive, you know. It's like Pastor says, you know, the Holy Spirit's always speaking. It's a matter of are we listening? It's not a matter of is he speaking to me, you know, because I'm not super spiritual or religious or any of that kind of stuff by any means. But I know when he speaks to me. And I know when he corrects me. And I know when he tells me, hey, look, you know, get back in line. God has been calling some folks to step out. You know, I don't know, and if I'm off base here just a second, you know, somebody correct me. But you know, I think this verse applies to this NRG group in part. I think there's more to it than just NRG, but I'm just saying right now, I think this NRG group that's going on, see, I believe that God has been speaking to people for a long, long time to fill this gap, to be repairers of the breach, to fix what was broken. And I believe what was broken was this, and Doc, if I'm wrong, please call my hand on it. But I believe what's wrong, and now what's been wrong, is that, you know what? I believe that we've not loved people like we ought to have loved people for so long that we've run people off. We've scared them because they think that they have to be like us and look like us and talk like us and walk like us and dress like us and act like us. And oh my God, I don't want to be like any of you. And you don't want to be like me. I can't be like anybody but me. For as messed up as I am, I can't be like anybody else. I can't be like Carrie. As much as I want to be tall, dark, and handsome, I can't be tall, dark, and handsome. That's $25 you owe me, brother. Laura, will you make it 50? You know, I can't be him. Take your shoe off a minute, Carrie. Give me your shoe. You see this shoe? There's only one man that can fill this shoe. And whatever God has called him to do, he's the only one that can fill that shoe. I can't do what God has called you to do. There's only one pair of shoes on my feet, and I'm the only one that can fill that pair of shoes. One night, Brad and I were laughing going down the hall. Tina bought me a pair of boat shoes. I didn't know you could have boat shoes. I thought my shoes were barred shoes. I wear 4X shoes, 4E shoes, big, wide, fat foot shoes. Has to order them through the email, you know. Brad was walking down the hall, and I was walking down the hall, and he said, "Those are really nice shoes you got on there, Steve." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Those are my boat shoes, you know. Those are my boat shoes." He said, "I'd wear them." I said, "Bro, you couldn't fill my shoes." He said, "Yeah, you're right." But I said, "You know what? I can't fill your shoes either." And the Lord said, "You know what? You're right. Doc, I can't fill your shoes. I can't fill Jay's shoes. I can't fill Dad's shoes. I can only put on my pair of shoes. I can only do what God called me to do. God sends me to prison." Lucky me. No, really, it's all good. But you know what? Many people do not believe that God loves them. And I believe that this standing in the gap or repairs of the breach and fixing what was been broken for years and years and years is just an outpouring of the love of God out into the community, out into our world, out into our little Jerusalem, if you want to say it that way, and just loving people where they're at. God said, "You know what? I searched for someone. I looked for someone." Let me read that. You know, that hit me like a brick. He said, "I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I would not have to destroy the land, but I found no one." You know, and I, it's God's desire that none should perish. How will they know except that they're told? How will they know unless they see, unless they hear, and unless they taste the goodness and greatness of God? See, we have something that their people are looking for, but you know what? I think sometimes we're selfish and we don't give it away. You know what's great about the gift of love? Love is not meant for you to hoard up and to hold up and to stash away with inside you. Love is meant for you to, love is a gift that's freely given from God and from somebody, you know, significant in your life, your wife, your spouse, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. You take in love, but you give love back out. And folks, I think it's we've been guilty of not giving out love. I may be wrong. If I am, I'll just take what I got coming. A lot of people believe that God would not give them the time of day. that God really doesn't care about them. But the truth of the matter is that God so loves them. He loves them so. God's desire is for them to come into relationship with Him and to draw close to Him and for Him to be the Father to them that they never had. People don't believe that God would love them, let alone give them the time of day, much less that Jesus would die for them. So many people today that I meet feel that they're not worth a dime. And yet they're precious and priceless in God's sight. Precious and priceless. Psalm 94:14 says this: the Lord will not reject His people. He will not abandon His special possession. He'll never abandon you. And He'll never, 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 never give up on His children, even His disobedient children. He'll never give up. He's long-suffering, He's patient, He's loving, He's kind, He's a good, good God, and He's a good, good Father. As we walk on this journey into the great unknown, we have to walk with not only steps of compassion and steps of faith, but we have to walk in steps of love. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing within Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have to walk in love. I have to walk in love. And that's sometimes difficult for me. You say, why is that difficult for you? Because there are some folks I just don't like. And you know what God says? You don't have to like them. You have to love them. You don't have to like them. You have to love them. There's some of y'all don't like me, but you have to love me. Isn't that bittersweet? No, that's how God works. All joking aside, you know what? We have to love people. It's the only way they're going to come to the Lord is when they see the love of Jesus flowing out of you towards them. Unconditional love. You know, God loved me unconditionally. You know what? He's the King of Kings, and He loved me when I was a clown. When I was a clown, He loved me. Man, I'm telling you what. You talk about a clown. I was a clown back in my day. What a mess. But you know what? He loved me even though I was a mess. When He knew all the stuff that I pulled and all the nonsense that I created and all of my ugliness and sin, God loved me and died for me. Jesus willingly laid His life down for me because He loved me. And I can't wrap my head around that yet. Sometimes I struggle with that. You know, I'll tell you what, it's tough. When you think about it, you know, that God knows us intimately better than anyone else, and yet He loves us. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes because, you know, like I said, you know, when you grow up in an environment, you know, where you're supposed to be tough and all that kind of stuff, you know, love's not something that's always talked about. But once you experience the love of a father, once you experience the love of the Heavenly Father, and you understand and know what it means to be forgiven, and when you know and experience what it means to be cared for unconditionally, that's something you got to give away. You got to share it with somebody else. You know, it's like that little song they sing in the Easter production. I got to go tell somebody. Dude, I got to tell somebody. You know, I made a deal with the Lord when he called me, you know, to ministry. I said, Lord, I'm telling you what, I'll go do anything you want, anywhere you want, anytime you want. Just don't ever sit me on a shelf. Don't sit me on a shelf. I don't want to be set on a shelf. You tell me what you want me to do. He said, I want you to go to prison. I said, no. No. I've been to jail. I don't want to go to prison. He said, I want you to go to prison. No, I ain't going to do that. Guess what? I went to prison. And you know what? Even though in the midst of going to prison and dealing with stuff, I mean from a job perspective, those of you by internet, you know, may not understand where I'm coming from. But you know, when you work in a prison every day and you see hurting people, hurting others, and hurting people needing help, and crying out in despair for help, and yet they don't know where help's coming from, and they try to get help through all kinds of other avenues that are all just totally messed up. And you got the answer. You got to tell somebody. See, you got to walk the walk, and you got to talk the talk, and you know what? You've got to share faith. You say, listen, man, I know what you're going through, maybe in part, maybe not the big picture, but I know in part. But I'm telling you, your life will never change until you put in your faith and believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And you begin to pour out compassion to those people in your walk every day, you know. And it's crazy because you know what? You can really love a lot of unlovely people because you were unlovely at one time too. And you know what? When you pour out faith and you pour out compassion and you pour out love, you know, things start changing. And you know what happens? All of a sudden you find that, you know, as you walk around in this great unknown that we're stepping out into, you're bringing hope to the hopeless. You know, some people ain't got no hope. You know, when I first went to prison, I put on my stationery, you never take hope away from anybody. It may be the only thing they have. And that's so true. There's so many people that the only thing they're hanging on to is hope. Hope that somebody will care enough to come by and tell them, hey, man, you know what? I love you in spite of yourself. There is hope for you. His name is Jesus. There's a way, you know, man, there's a way that seemeth right, but guess what? It's the wrong answer, brother. I'm going to put you on the right path. And I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to stick close to you. And I'm going to help you. Because I love you and because God loves me. And we're going to love God together. And we're going to get through this. So many people today need hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Hope is developed and strengthened when we stand in God's grace. Man, sometimes you got to give grace, like all the time. You know, because how much grace have we received? I don't know about you, but man, I've received more grace than I ever deserved. That's called mercy, you know. God's extended mercy and grace to me. And we got to do the same thing for others. We have to extend mercy and grace. Our fleshly desire is to avoid trials and struggles as we journey into the unknown, but hope is measured by what we learn as we walk through trials with the Holy Spirit. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance shapes our character. And knowledge of the Holy Spirit has led us to this conclusion that because we've gone through trials before, the Holy Spirit gives us this great confidence that he's going to see us through these next set of trials. So when you find somebody who's troubled and down and out and in despair and who has no hope, you can reassure them that there is hope, that there is hope, that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. And weeping may endure for, you know, a season, but you know what? Joy is going to come in the morning. You know, one of these days it's going to get better. But you have to be an ambassador of hope. You have to be an ambassador of love. You have to walk in faith and you have to walk in compassion. You know, I'm telling you, confidence in God's provision is the kind of hope which does not lead to disappointment. You know, God is not slack in his provision. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about me going to God and saying, hey Lord, will you feed us tomorrow? God, will you put a roof over our head tomorrow? And God, I've got sick family members. And Lord, if you would just find it in your goodness and grace, would you touch them and heal them? Well, of course he will. God's not slack. He's never shorthanded. He has abundance of everything, and he's God. God wants to use you to be the vessel to reach out and touch others. See, if it's true that in us dwells the fullness of God, if we have that righteousness that's imputed into us because of Jesus Christ, man, you know, we can stand in authority and say, you know what, man, I'm going to pray with you. You know, you have a need. And you know what? God might just tell you, you know what? Hey, meet that need. Meet that need. You don't have to pray to me about it. Just meet that need. You have the ability to meet that need. Meet it. What does it mean to step out for you or me? For me, it means to come out of my comfort zone. Sometimes, man, I just get really uncomfortable. I don't like crowds, to be honest with you. And I want you to know the truth. I'm still nervous. Every time I stand up here, I am nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And I don't know why. If you could see, my socks are wet right now. But you see, you have to walk by faith in this journey. You have to walk in compassion. You have to walk in love. You have to be a minister of hope. You have to walk with steps of comfort and assurance to others. And comfort and assurance comes through this word. In Deuteronomy 31:6, the word says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. For he will neither fail you nor abandon you." First Chronicles 28:20 says this. Then David continued, "Be strong and be courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." You know, the Lord's been dealing with with us about our lives. And, you know, we're like, okay, Lord, you know, what would you have us to do? And, you know, and so, anytime the Lord speaks to you about something, you know, there's always questions. I don't know about you, but I have questions.
Yes, sir.
You what? How's that going to happen? Are you sure about that? What if? You know, there is no what ifs with God. There are no maybes. You know, I found this out. People will fail you. I will fail you. You know, God will never fail you.
Amen.
He says here, it says here in his word that he will never fail you nor abandon you. I like this because he says this. He says, you know what? Concerning you, I never sleep nor slumber.
Yes.
Meaning he never takes his eye off of us. He says in his word that we are the apple of his eye. That he's got us right in the center of his eye. He's looking at us. And he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You know, Some of you may be sitting here tonight and your heart's broken over some things, you know, and you're going through a rough time and you're going through a hard time, and it seems like, you know, you're all stretched out and all stressed out, you know, and torn and whatever. And you know what? Go to the one who'll never fail you. And if you don't know how to get to him, grab somebody and say, hey, you know what? I just need somebody to put their faith with mine and walk with me through this, because you know what? I need some help. See, I believe that Peter didn't half-heartedly jump out the boat that day. I believe when he called out to Jesus and said, if that is you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Man, I believe that he got up and he was out the boat. I don't believe he just, no, wait a minute. Let me think about this. I believe that he hit that water running, because there was something in him that stirred him to have that kind of faith. Something had to stir his faith. You know, I think about Peter. You know, Peter's the one that denied Christ 3 times. And then what did Jesus do? He prayed for him. You know, Jesus prayed for him. And Jesus loved him in spite of himself. What is our example? Jesus is our example. You know, as we walk through this journey called life, we've already said, you know, we're going to have many, many times of heartache, tough times, some hard times, circumstances and situations that are beyond our control. All we can do is turn control over to God and trust him. As we come to the end of the journey, we have this great assurance. And it's found in Ephesians 2:19. It says this: so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Philippians 3:20 says this: we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get us out of our dead-end, empty-headed life that we grew up in. God always knew what he was going to do for you and for me. Folks, here we are, standing on the edge of something new. The Lord is asking us to step out. It's a time for you and a time for me to make a choice. Gentlemen, would you play this last piece, please? Listen to the words.
You look around and stare. What are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? waiting for? What you have to lose? Your insecurities, you try to hold to you. You know you're made for more, so don't be afraid to move. Your faith is all it takes, and you can walk on the water too.
Step out,
even when a storm is.
Step out,
even when you're broken.
Step out,
even when your heart is telling you to give up.
Step out,
when your hope is stolen.
Step out,
you can't see where you're going. You don't have to be afraid.
One minute. Let's pray. Father, as we stand here on the edge of something new, whatever you're going to do in this place, in this body, in this community, in this town, in this county, in this state, whatever you're going to do, Father, it's my prayer that your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and stand up and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, use me. Lord, use me a vessel to be a vessel. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me a compassion. Fill me with your love. Make me a messenger of grace. Father, use me. If that's your prayer tonight, just raise your hand real quick and wave it at me. Father, you see the hearts of your children. Father, we love you. We thank you. And Jesus, we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.